Live streaming at 991fmtalk.com.
The FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada, 99.1.
And 92.3 FM.
Hey, so when does hibernation actually start? Because I am 100% going to do that this year. 9:06, good morning, friends. I'm John Potter, live and local every Saturday morning, right here, 9 to noon, on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. And, of course, I work here every Saturday morning with a pretty astounding person who has apparently messed up something at work, and this is his punishment.
Yes, to work on Saturday, yes, is a punishment in itself, yes.
You're supposed to sound like you're kidding.
I am kidding.
How dare you?
Jerry, if you're listening, I am kidding.
Dare you. Big things going on. Halloween is taking over here. The Reno Zombie Crawl is tonight. It's going to be about 20,000 descending on downtown. I haven't been. Have you? I mean, because I wonder about this. Do they act full zombie, or do they talk at the zombie crawl?
Oh, I think they talk and walk and
like,
yeah.
Reno.
The ones that are really into it will do the regular walk and talk, but yeah.
El Dorado. Actually, if you're downtown any night at the right time, yeah, like 3 in the morning, you already see the zombie walk. I don't know what's different about this. It actually reminds me. Thank you. Now, zombie walk kind of freaks me out because it kind of reminds me my biggest fear about becoming a zombie is all the walking. I like to rest, lie down. But honestly, the cheapest way to have fun is to buy a cheap beer downtown and just watch the zombie show. The streets are going to be full downtown, kind of like 1978. Okay, now you just came back from your own spooky event, and we had those folks on the show. The cemetery.
Yes, the cemetery tours up at Virginia City. Yeah, up Virginia at the Silver Terrace Cemetery. We did our 23rd annual cemetery tour weekends. So for two weekends, the two weekends I was not here. Yes, I know everybody out there in listening land missed me. Ha, ha, ha. And so we did. We had eight shows. And they're unfortunately, people would like them to be at night, but because of the terrain of the cemetery, we can't really do anything safely, and insurance would prohibit it. But during the day, we did two shows each day on Saturday and Sunday for the past 2 weeks.
Oh, wow. See, I can't picture that. I thought all cemetery tours with a tour guide and all were at night.
No, ours are,
Did you have the guy with the cape?
Well, we had
walking around with a cane and pointing stuff out?
Oh, we had Thomas, the Undertaker, and...
Oh, good.
The widow of the Silver Terrace, who we had on the show a couple of times, and then Ellen, Thomas's wife. They were the guides, and they walked around, and they took you on a guided tour of the cemetery, and you met, 13, 15, depending on the day, characters who actually lived and died, and they were actually 90% of them were standing at their gravesite telling people how their...
So this was dead serious. Oh, there I go. This was dead serious,
oh,
right?
Oh, no. There's a lot of comedy. Because one of the last line that the widow of the Silver Chair says, it's not an easy thing to make a cemetery tour a light and happy experience, but they do. So.
I'm waiting for the drinking stories here.
The hardest beverage there to drink was,
they got
Pepsi.
The cemetery gin somewhere there.
Yeah, not in the cemetery. We're not licensed in there. So, so we had
licensed to drink in the cemetery?
Well, to serve.
Okay.
Yeah. We had
That's
over
a
the
shame because I sure don't want to be in that cemetery when I'm dead.
Oh, exactly.
No drinks?
over the two weekends, the eight shows, we had around 240 people take the tour.
Well, that's darn good.
It's very good, especially last year. I think we had there were three shows out of the eight that had nobody show up for them, and this year we did not have a single person absent. Everybody who bought their tickets in advance. In fact, we had tons of walk-ups as well. So,
how dressed up is Virginia City now for Halloween for folks who may want to go there this weekend or next?
It's
really dressed up.
Yeah,
they have the stuffed person hanging from a rope, like they do at Hangtown.
Oh, probably so. I haven't been up there this week, but yeah.
All right.
I left on Sunday and haven't been back yet. So
you are a ghoulish person.
I am.
Is wonderful. That is something. Speaking of zombies, I witnessed a real zombie move on the roads this morning, and I may be the first to witness this in town. And I think as many traffic circles as we're getting, I think you may see this too. I'm on my bike this morning. I'm heading down Virginia Street to Vassar to turn right to come to work. And I get the green to turn right on Vassar, but I had to rapidly get out of the way of this driver going northbound on Virginia who thought Virginia and Vassar was a traffic circle, a roundabout. He did this complete circle against the light on that intersection to go southbound on Virginia, complete circle. And everybody just stopped in amazement at this thing. I mean, does Virginia and Vassar look like a roundabout? But I can kind of understand, because there is a roundabout the next intersection down where Mary Street is that he just came from on his way downtown. Anyway, be prepared, folks. It wasn't funny at the time.
Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Laugh now. And finally, I'm having a hard time deciding which local fast food chicken sandwich is going to be my regular favorite. I have tried the Arby's, the Popeyes, the Carl's Jr. chicken sandwich. I've tried the KFC, the Wendy's, the Sonic, the Burger King, the Jack in the Box, the McDonald's. Folks, nothing succeeds like emulating in their world, it seems. Of course, Chick-fil-A. Have you had the Jesus chicken? That's what they're calling Chick-fil-A, because, you know, the owners happen to be Christian. The place is closed on Sunday. So, yes, it is the Lord's chicken. I talked to a friend I used to work with in Maine, and Maine now has a Chick-fil-A. Now Maine has moose and chicken. But here's the question. Do you like this Chick-fil-A sandwich? I think it's all right. It's nice. It's okay. There's always a very long line. But I got to say, the organization and the courtesy at Chick-fil-A are amazing to me. It's top tier, super polite. They have this incredible amount of customers, but they get them through. Same deal with Costco. A well-run, super efficient machine. Popeyes, the pagan chicken. No, it's not really pagan chicken, but I think Popeyes is 70% satisfaction and 30% hype. That's my impression. The breading on the Popeye's chicken is too thick. It's the whole thing is too vertical, not enough horizontal, as opposed to the too horizontal and not vertical at Carl's Jr., Sonic, Wendy's, and McDonald's. Oh, man, I put a lot of work into this study here. I am so hard to please. Now, the other place, the one in front of Whole Foods on South Virginia, Raising Cane's, I like that. It's moist chicken, surprisingly moist. McDonald's, not good for me. Is it still called McChicken? I don't know. I think that the actual chicken sandwich is different. Arby's has one. Chicken patty is too thin. Burger King has a very good one. They have one that is shaped like a little sub sandwich. Though often they don't put enough sauce into it. I think I did spend too much time on this study.
And that's Burger King, that's their original.
I love it.
And then they actually have two different versions of a chicken sandwich. So you got to check them both out.
The long one, when you're driving, right. It's perfect to go because it's so easy to eat when you're driving the long one.
Yeah, that's the classic chicken from Burger King, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a great deal. I really do. Anyway, they're all fine and good, but I don't find any chicken sandwich exciting. Chicken is hard to make exciting unless you know of a really good one. Actually, I'm kind of using this also as a ploy to get people to call. It's one of the clever tricks that we in the professional microphone operation trade do. You know what I'm saying? Like if I were to say, hey, I wonder what today is. It's just a trick. I know it's Saturday. See, I'm just using that to get people to call in. So here you go. Who has the best chicken sandwich in town? Spun chicken pickles equals love. Yes.
Speaking of you working on a Saturday, we have a special day next Saturday.
We do. What is it?
You're going to be doing your show live from Grand Sierra Resort.
That's right. Yeah. Live broadcast out in the public.
Yeah.
Oh,
we're letting you out of the... You're going to have to get, other than the sweatpants and sweatshirt, the hoodie.
You're going to have the cage surrounding me. Yeah. That's good.
So
yeah.
You'll be, from my understanding, at the Western Skies RV Crisis event.
This is a huge event. I don't think they mind me saying. I've just been reading articles, and I was going to bring this up before I found out about this event. RV, okay, I'm going to be honest here. RV sales have hit a wall because of gas prices. And I think this is one of the reasons why Laughlin, Nevada, is so depressed right now. It's going through this recession, and the reason is Laughlin is the RV snowbirds paradise. I remember when Laughlin became big when I lived in Vegas, and every vehicle was an RV. Now, the gas prices have opened up a huge opportunity to buy an RV that actually super affordable. So this is a big event. You're right. And next Saturday, they're going to go bottom dollar from what I hear. And they're having me there because I represent cheap, you see. So that's an image, folks.
Yeah.
So that's next Saturday at GSR. Yeah.
Yeah, from 9 to noon.
Right. Okay.
Well, I'm still sitting here in Carson City. You're going to be out there getting your vitamin D fixed in the sun for a change.
Oh, well, if we get some, yeah. All right. Well, it's already time for a break. I'm rambling, but folks, I'm a professional rambler. Okay. 9:18 is the time. I'm John Potter. Open topic. If you don't want to talk about the chicken sandwiches, that's fine. 884-9910. But so much to talk about today. I want to hit on they're pushing us to get vaccinations again. Olympics coming up with 5 new sports. What else did I write notes about? Oh, Rite Aid drugstores closing. You know, we have one in Northern Nevada. I'll get into that coming up. And the old days of the pharmacies and what has happened to them. And also our overweight army. The news came out yesterday under the headline, U.S. military obese rates soar. And there's much more. But like I said, open topic too, 884-9910. My name is John Potter. This is 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk time is 9:19.
Audience participation suggested. KKFT is Nevada's Fox News FM talk station, 99.1.
And 92.3 FM.
Hello, friends. 9:23. Hope you had a good week. Welcome to the weekend. I'm John Potter. Okay, let's get to some local news. Political, with a political bent, as we like to do. This came out yesterday. Our two Nevada U.S. senators, Catherine Cortez Masto and Jackie Rosen, both Democrats, yesterday called for more border security to stop the flow of fentanyl. They are part of a group of Democratic senators pushing President Biden to prioritize more resources for border security. And President Biden is now admitting that the migrant crisis is real. Are we getting punked here? No, actually, I'll tell you why. There is an election coming up, and President Biden either has to move to the center or shoot up a case of Bud Light. But there are Democrats, of course, who are against this. They say, yes, securing the border was in the party platform, but they didn't think he'd actually do something about it. Democrat New York City Mayor Eric Adams says the migrant situation will destroy his city, and he actually went to Mexico to personally tell folks there that we in the U.S., we don't have enough room for them and not to cross the border. I think he went door to door. But Nevada Senators Rosen and Cortez Masto cited data from the U.S. Customs and Border Protection showing drugs are overwhelmingly being smuggled through there as agents discover pills in seat cushions, car batteries, metal walkers, and bicycle frames. Rosen and Cortez Masto want increased funding for security and surveillance and non-invasive inspection technology. Yes, we can't be invasive now, looking for deadly drugs, you know. But anyway, I'm going to read straight from their statement here. This is what Cortez Masto and Jackie Rosen wrote in their statement. Quote, "We have long supported increasing funding for comprehensive measures to enhance border enforcement management and security."
What?
I must have missed something that they may have done. I don't know. All right, not so funny here. Overweight Army, something that made the news again. This is yesterday. Under the headline, U.S. military obese rates soar, the American Security Project, a Washington-based nonprofit, found that 68% of active U.S. troops qualified as either overweight or obese. That's 7 out of 10 service members, overweight or obese. Meanwhile, the number for the general American population is 69% obese or overweight. And that is a staggering reality that those in the military are just as fat as those of us out of the military. And another troubling thing that I see in these numbers, okay, 68% of troops, 69% general population. Here's the troubling thing to me. It's that the military population is younger than the population as a whole, right? And we gain weight as we get older. So given their age, the person in the military is likely to be heavier than the person outside the military of that same age, which is mind-blowing to me. 21.6% of active duty members in the United States are obese, and that's a dramatic change, even though that doesn't mean, we're not saying that heavy-set people can't be brave or courageous or great soldiers, but it's also a dramatic change in policy from the days when, remember, if you crossed the weight limit, I think the Army would give you like 6 months, and if you still didn't lose the weight, that was it. You weren't in the Army. Partly because, and they have good reason, partly because the incidence of injury goes up as your weight increases. So, okay, our local lines are open at 884-9910. I would be honored to have you as a call-in guest this morning. I hope you feel invited to call in. Any topic, of course, is always welcome here. I am straightforward, common sense, no BS. I am my dad's son, and I do love listening to you if I'm fortunate enough to hear from you at 884-9910. We got two great guests coming up on the show, too, starting at 10 o'clock this morning. It's going to be fun. One of them is comedian Joe Mackey. Yeah, Mackey's back in town. He's with the Gutfeld Show, and he's going to be also a dive bar. See the people I attract? Dive Bar is coming on, management there, to be a special guest here on the show. So I'm really looking forward to this Saturday show. 884-9910, we're going to break for Fox News, on and I hope to get to talk to you. John Potter here on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time 929.
Fox News and live FM Talk Radio, KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. And live right now with your calls.
The Weekend on News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM.
Good morning. I'm John Potter. You know, I never thought I'd be the kind of person who'd wake up early to exercise. And I was right. 884-9910 is our phone number. Here's something that affects Nevada. Not a great deal, but it may be in Gardnerville, where one of their stores is located. Rite Aid, the third largest drugstore chain behind CVS and Walgreens, announced yesterday that they plan to close 154 of their stores as the drugstore chain makes its way through its Chapter 11 bankruptcy process. Rite Aid lost about $1.3 billion in just the first half of its fiscal year. And that's more than double the $441 million it lost in the same period, the previous fiscal year. Business, not good there. The Gardnerville Rite Aid on 395 in Waterloo Lane, I checked, is not on this list of 154 stores they will close. But Rite Aid also said yesterday additional stores may be closed in the future. I hope ours stays open. But if that Rite Aid does eventually close, there aren't a lot of other pharmacies to go to in your smaller towns like Gardnerville. I remember we had in Reno, we had Eagle Thrifty Drug, we had Long's, and we had Skaggs. I think two of those three had excellent ice cream and ice cream cones. But before that, before we had those three, we had the little independents. I remember we had Modern Pharmacy and, of course, Sierra Pharmacy on Mill Street, which is still there, and Owl Rexall Drugs. Put your hands up. Who remembers Owl Rexall Drugs, Keystone and Fifth, run by Mr. Henderson? I remember at the pharmacy counter. Great guy, great place, great spirit. Wonderfully positive, a small town asset. And that was not uncommon back in the day. You know, most places had a small pharmacy and there would be a Mr. or Ms. Henderson or whatever the name in that town wearing those white smocks that barbers and pharmacists used to wear, standing behind some elevated counter and passing out prescriptions and advice and good cheer, right? The local drugstore was often one of your bright spots in town. And then in came the chain pharmacies. And the biggest and the first, by the way, was Rite Aid. We are, you know, we are Rite Aid and we're the wave of the future. And so what they did, they came in and the small independents, they couldn't compete, you know, with the lower prices and stuff. And they closed or they were bought out. And this was long before Walmart and even Kmart. And so our Keystone Pharmacy, Mr. Henderson, he was replaced by a down-the-street newer building, and whoop, away went the hometown pharmacy, at least as it's understood by an earlier generation. So Rite Aid ruled the roost. But Rite Aid right now is in a hurting status. 154 of their stores in the U.S. will close.
Oh, don't worry, John. The records are transferred someplace. Everything's just wonderful.
No. It's part of a retrenchment of these chain drugstores, and there are a lot of things going wrong here for all drugstores, and one of them is theft. You know, every now and then, I mention the astounding amount of shoplifting that occurs, and again, shoplifting, you think, okay, it's a 14-year-old girl. She stole eyeliner on a dare from her friend, and we just have the cops give her a stern talking to, and she'll go on, live a life of virtue, right? Because maybe that's how it was back when Mr. Henderson had the pharmacy at Keystone and Fifth. Well, changing world. Now, shoplifting is an entitlement. It is slow motion reparations. And it's industry, if you look at the numbers, a massive industry which takes billions of dollars out of American retail and the chain pharmacies whose policy used to be, let's go to where the people are, started locking up anything that cost over $2 behind plexiglass. Did shoplifting kill Rite Aid? I don't think so, but it didn't help, right? And so as we find empty stores on city streets, as we see chains that are sort of retreating or collapsing, there is the factor of theft in that. Not many stores admit it. Also, Target did when they released their financial statement a month ago. And there is the reality that an ever-increasing lawless society is cannibalizing itself, and these are some of the first bites being taken. I think Sears had the best plan to fight shoplifting. Make it look like it's already cleaned out. But no, serious and unserious at the same time about that. Okay, we have a new virus. We have new virus worries. RSV cases are on the rise in Washoe County. The respiratory virus is a risk, especially for seniors and infants and those with chronic illnesses. The numbers are not big on this because the RSV season, it's a seasonal thing, hasn't really picked up, but they're seeing first signs. That, plus the flu and COVID, we have TV announcers calling this a triple-demic. I heard that a couple of days ago. What's that for?
Stick you. We will stick you.
Oh, this is from the COVID days. Thanks for being on the ball there, Craig. I appreciate that. Anyway, but... I forgot what channel it was, but they say it's a triple demic. I'm not trying to alarm you. Don't scream. Okay, don't scream. I think you're going to survive this. But the guy on TV said bad, bad stuff is coming. The winter means the cold and the flu. Okay, that's a double demic, right? And now it's a triple demic. We got to get shots. There's COVID. There's RSV. There's the flu. And demand is high. It's huge and it's bad. And I'm kind of paraphrasing what he said. Actually, I changed the channel. But at any rate, this triple-demic thing, they're still going to play this game, I guess. I had thought that we kind of decided that this whole try to manipulate people through fear of infectious disease thing, I thought they tried that, and while it was a thing, and it really kind of effed up society, I thought they were going to back away from that, you know? Apparently not. Anyway, here's the breaking news. There well may be flu this winter. Right. And there may be COVID, and there may be RSV. Just as there's always been RSV, which is a respiratory virus. Just as there always has been flu. Now, there always will be COVID, I guess, but we learned about freedom. And if you want to get a shot for any of these things, go do it, right? I sort of half do the flu shot thing. It's like if I have a doctor's appointment. Hey, while you're in here, you want to get the flu shot? I go, yeah, okay, yeah, it's a good thing, right? RSV? I don't think so. COVID? No thanks for me, right? But if you say, gosh, John, I can't wait to get my COVID shot, I'll say, great. If you need a ride, let me know. It's your call, right? But I think we all have decided, after the entire screwing we took on COVID, I think we decided that we're adults and we're all going to make our own decisions, okay? And if you don't get a COVID shot, it doesn't mean you're a bad person. And if you do get a COVID shot, your body, your choice. Okay? You do what you want to do. Okay? And the man on TV, with respect, you're not going to be a factor in our decision making. Who should be? Your doctor, the one who knows you and treats you. What they decide That's it for me, and I would politely ask our friends on the evening news to stop using the word triple-demic, because as I would point out to the folks on the 6 o'clock, as a matter of definitions, there are no demics. No demics. Right now, there's very, very little COVID, and there's no flu, because it's not flu time yet, right? Right. No, there's almost no RSV because it's seasonal. It's not that time right now. None of the three of these are anywhere near pandemic, much less triple-demic. And there is almost no likelihood that any of these three things, even in the heat of their season come midwinter, are going to be anywhere near pandemic. So there's no demic whatsoever. But as you look after your health, you do what's best for you. If you have respiratory or other issues, then it's more important to you, and you prudently should pay more attention to it. If you're okay, you can make a different decision. But don't let jerks like me nag you into not getting the shot if you want one. And don't let the TV guy nag you into getting a shot if you don't or do want one. You do you. We'll all get along. Everything's going to be fine. All right. I'm rambling again, but as I said, I'm a professional rambler. So there. Let's go to Tim in South Lake Tahoe. Tim, thank you so much for calling. Good morning, sir.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, John. And good morning to you guys. And really, really enjoy the show. And every week, look forward to your show. And pretty much, we are always give a shout out to your boss. Our radio is 24/7 Evans Broadcasting. Love the shows. Love your show. And I'd heard you talking about South Lake Tahoe a few months ago, and I thought I'd give you a little bit of stuff that one is our housing shortage. Here's some Wall Street type entity has literally bought up all these apartments. We've lost, like I said, 2,000 permanent residents up here. Tahoe is kind of a dying town. And it's really a shame. I've been here almost all my life, and there are some great local people up here, but it is, it's changed a lot.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. You know, one of the charming things about, South Lake Tahoe or any town that is not in a boom cycle, and I'm thinking back to where I'm from near Buffalo, New York, is it preserves everything old. And it stunned me when I came back here in 2001 to see State Line pretty much exactly the same way it was in 1978. Maybe we don't want it to grow that much, Tim. Maybe it's fine the way it is. But are you proposing that we need more growth at South Lake Tahoe?
No. Actually, no, it's not like that at all. It's just more the biggest issue we have up here is affordable housing, but it's okay. Non-existent.
I gotcha. Oh, and yes. It's always been a problem there, yeah.
Yeah, and then just seeing the changes up here with the, like I said, some Wall Street investors has just bought up. I mean, we lost 2,000 permanent residents, so 10% of our population is gone.
Well, hang in there, Tim. I appreciate the call. Thanks for the update. Sorry to hear that. Let's go to Joe calling Reno about, I said open topic, McDonald's coffee, Joe?
Good morning, John. Good morning. Say, are you still buying the coffee at McDonald's on your walk and rides?
I do my walk to McDonald's from my house. It's an hour over and an hour back. I do this at 5 in the morning. I get to see the sunrise on the way back, but yes, I always stop at my McDonald's to get the large coffee and walk with that on the way back home. It's a tradition. It's a thing I do.
Sure. Now, the question I have for you is, at that McDonald's, you said that's the one that used to be Bob's Big Boy, correct?
Yes, that's the one. Plummet, Virginia.
Oh, okie dokie. Now, when you go there, if you get the smaller coffee, do you ask for the senior price of the coffee?
See, that's the thing. Let me give you a clue in on how to save some money here, Joe, because I did used to get the senior coffee, 75 cents, small cup.
There you go.
We'll get this, Joe. If you get the McDonald's app, you get the large coffee for $1. And it's in the get the app and go to deals, and it's right there. And I get a dollar large coffee every morning, every other morning at McDonald's. It's not the greatest coffee. It's kind of thin, and there's no flavored creamers there. You got to bring your own, but otherwise it's a pure joy to me. I'm not on the verge of being homeless or anything, but I get a certain joy out of knowing that I got myself a little bargain. That's just the way I am. Well,
that's
anyway,
exactly
thanks
how
for the.
I feel.
What's that,
one
sir?
One more thing, John.
Yeah.
See, over here, now I'm over in Old Northwest, and I go down to Keystone, and I'll stop in there. Well, for years, I was stopping in there and getting the senior coffee price, no apps or anything. Wasn't even aware of that. I'm glad you told me that. And I would go in there, I'd say to them, just senior coffee with the two little creamers, dump those in there. And it's like, I think it was 69, anywhere from 69 cents to 89 cents. Well, what I would do is typically I'd give them a dollar and I'd say, just keep the change for the folks coming in here that don't have the little extra change.
Okay.
And I did that for years. I went in there not too long ago, not even a week ago, went in there and did the same thing. And they said, this is Keystone McDonald's now. We don't have the senior coffee anymore.
Really?
I said, how much is it? Yeah. And I said, how much is it then? You know, it's no big deal. I'm not poor.
Right.
But I like the same thing that you just said. I like that little deal. It's kind of an attractive thing just to go in there. Hey,
sure
anyway,
thing.
So I said to him, I said, well, how much is it? He said, $1.49, and that was before the tax. I said, listen, I'll tell you what, you just lost the customer, man. You know,
Joe.
Give me $1.49.
Well, app, Joe. As much as I hate these apps, dollar large, you can't beat it. Best bargain in town. I appreciate your call,
that's
my friend.
Great.
Have yourself a great weekend. I'm John Potter, still open topic, 884-9910. We're going to talk after a break at 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk time, 9:51.